You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. It's your boy, your host, Sosa Kremenges, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus, and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. You guys know, like I mentioned earlier this week, this Tuesday edition of the Rams podcast is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit awkward, I guess, in terms of the Rams playing in their first Monday night contest in this season, which effectively makes this episode our post-game recap, which we typically do on Mondays. But here we are. The Rams, obviously, if you watch the game, dominated the Chicago Bears by a score of 24-10, improving their record to 5-2 while worsening the Bears' record to 5-2. Now, this was a huge game for the Rams. It was really a statement win coming off a Week 6 performance against the San Francisco 49ers where the Rams did not look good. They didn't look good. That was the worst game probably they've had all season, and it was great to see them rebound in this one very effectively. We got to begin with the offense, obviously. Jared Goff had a solid contest. There was some, you know, lackluster play towards the end of the first half where Goff nearly was picked off two or three times, to be honest. But, you know, he completed 23 out of his 33 attempts for 219 yards and two passing touchdowns. And, you know, I thought he looked fairly comfortable in this one. I thought he made fairly good decisions in this one. You know, his accuracy was off a little bit. But there were some darts as well and some, you know, creative plays that he created out of structure while scrambling outside of the pocket and really just, you know, redirecting guys from their original routes. So I thought Goff had a solid game. It wasn't his best game. I don't think it was his worst game either. And it was, you know, ultimately good enough to win. And that's really all you can ask. Now, the backfield was a mess as it always has been this season. It feels like Darrell Henderson led the way with his 15 carries for 64 yards. And then Malcolm Brown chipped in another 10 carries for 57 yards as well as one touchdown. So those two performed very well together and kind of rotated in and out, you know, between drives and between situational, you know, awareness there. But the Rams had a lot of that fidgety, you know, BS jet sweep type stuff where Robert Woods had 4 carries for 23 yards and Cooper Kupp had 1 for 16. And Woods had the fumble that was scooped and scored by safety Eddie Jackson, which actually gave the Bears their only touchdown on the day. So, you know, there was a lot of movement, and maybe the most important news is that rookie running back Cam Akers, once again, didn't do anything. He only had one carry, which was negated by penalty and brought back, and probably played around 5 snaps in the entire game, so he really did nothing in this one. Once again, very, very confusing as to, you know, the idea that Sean McVay has with this running back by committee approach. It hasn't looked very solid, you know, so far. I mean, it, you know, Brown and Henderson have done a very good job working together, but Cam Akers is a talented player who the Rams are just not playing right now, and it's very weird to see, and we don't really have an explanation as to what's going on there. But, you know, even after last week, Sean McVay said he was going to look towards getting Cam Akers more work, and that just hasn't happened so far. So we don't yet know how the work is going to be split up moving forward, but as of right now, it looks like the Darrell Henderson show mixed in with a lot of Malcolm Brown, and thus far, absolutely no Cam Akers. So, you know, things could change very quickly, so we're going to kind of keep our eyes on that situation as, you know, it's very fluid thus far. Moving into the receiving core, Josh Reynolds absolutely pronounced himself in this one. He was targeted a team high 8 times and brought in 4 receptions for 52 yards receiving as well as 1 touchdown. And majority of those plays came on 3rd down. So Reynolds was very important in this game. He was consistently, you know, churning his legs. He was getting open. He was making tough catches. And he scored. I mean, he scored. So that was the first touchdown in the game. It was a very weird touchdown where Reynolds actually lined up in the backfield to Jared Goff's left and came out of the backfield sort of on like a flat route or like a swing kind of route and caught a touchdown. So it was good to see Reynolds ball out. He continues to ball out every time his number is called. And, you know, he's not a guy that anyone's really going to talk about when it comes to, you know, difference makers for the Rams offense, considering how many good players they have. But at the end of the day, every time his number is called, Reynolds finds a way to step up. And not only that, but he always ensures that there's really no drop off from him to whoever he's replacing. Now, this season, he's not replacing anyone. He is the wide receiver three, but you know, you got to give your hats off to the guy. He just plays well every time his number is called. And that continued tonight, even after last week in week six, where he caught one of the touchdowns for the Rams in the end zone, in the back of the end zone, on a jump ball against the San Francisco 49ers. So the guy continues to play well. And he continues to, you know, find himself in a strong role in this offense because he continues to play so well. Moving on, Cooper Kupp was the next most targeted player with his six targets. He caught all of them for 43 yards receiving. Like usual, it was a lot of short stuff, a lot of converting third downs and staying ahead of the chain stuff. But it was good to see him bounce back and have a strong game. And then lastly, that tight end group without Tyler Higbee, who was inactive in this game, stepped up in a major way. Johnny Munt, the tight end two in this contest, and typically the Rams tight end three when Higbee is healthy, was targeted three times and caught all three of those passes for 47 yards receiving. He had one very long catch where he made multiple guys miss and created a huge play for the Rams down the right sideline, which was very impressive, especially for a guy who's known to be a better blocker than a receiver. So that was good to see him step up. And then obviously Gerald Everett was relatively featured in this game. He was targeted five times and he brought in four receptions on those five targets for only 28 yards receiving, but he did also score a touchdown, which was again another impressive touchdown. He broke a player's ankles and really just walked his way into the end zone by way of another broken tackle, which is something we've probably become accustomed to by now when we watch a guy like Gerald Everett, who, you know, my nickname, I got a couple for him, but is Yak Lord or Yak God, meaning, you know, yards after the catch, Lord or God. So this is a guy who just does it after the catch. And shout out to the offensive line as well, because they did a great job in this game. The Rams, you know, they ran the ball very effectively when they did choose to run in this one, which we'll talk about later in this episode. And Jared Goff was only sacked one time, and it was, you know, on a very impressive pass rush from a guy like Khalil Mack, who absolutely smoked right tackle Rob Havenstein. But I mean, it's Khalil Mack. The guy's a superstar. He's going to win his battles. And ultimately, it was a great job by the offensive line, giving Jared Goff enough time to drop back and throw the ball with effectiveness and go through his reads. And like I mentioned, you know, just a minute ago, to actually create space in the running game, because the Rams once again had another very successful rushing attack in this game. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about that defense that held the Bears to only 3 points and how they managed to do that. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MEP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Just like me tonight, watching the Rams reel off a big dub in Week 7, cranking that Pepsi back, these passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Folks, are you having any car troubles? You ever go outside to find your car tires flat or your car just won't even start? Well, you should absolutely check out rockauto.com for your service needs. Rock Auto is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. There isn't a better time to support a family-owned business than right now with the strange COVID-related times that we're living in. If you're a do-it-yourselfer or a professional and are looking for reliably low prices, you absolutely need to check out Rock Auto. Go to their website and check out all of their available parts. It's truly a never-ending list, and if your car needs it, they've probably got it. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com and write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us? So they know that we sent you. Welcome back to the second segment of your Tuesday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. As I mentioned before the break, we got to talk about this defense, and we're going to spend a, you know, pretty amount of time here talking about the defense, because let's just be, you know, frank with this. They absolutely deserved it. I mean, you know, they've played some very good games this season, and they've looked very, very strong as a unit, really from, you know, the defensive line all the way to the secondary. But this contest was something entirely different. I mean, first things first, they only allowed 3 points on that side of the ball. So, you know, anytime you can hold an offense to 3 points, I mean, really, you can't ask for much more. And then when you kind of dig deeper into it, I mean, the defense was just dominant, really, on all three levels. You had multiple turnovers where cornerback Jalen Ramsey was able to reel himself his first interception in this season. Safety Taylor Rapp also caught an interception in his own right in the end zone, off a tip pass and a pass deflection from cornerback Troy Hill, who had a great, great pass deflection on third down, I believe it was, in the red zone, which literally just dropped the ball right into Rapp's hands for a free interception. And not only that, but I mean, the defensive line was absolutely creating all kinds of havoc from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. You've seen guys like former Chicago Bears edge rusher and now Rams edge rusher Leonard Floyd total 6 tackles in this game and 2 sacks as well as 2 tackles for a loss. I mean, he looked just outstanding in this game, and he continues to be a major weapon for the Rams coming off that edge rusher position. Now, his role is always going to be to stop the run first, and he was great in that in tonight's role. And not only that, but he clearly came alive with a little bit of extra juice in this game as a pass rusher. There might have been some external motivation there with the Bears obviously letting him reach free agency, but we don't know. All we know is that he played great, and he was an excellent piece for the Rams in this game. Now, obviously, everything always begins with Aaron Donald, who chipped in half a sack in this game and was obviously all around the quarterback as always. And the other player who, you know, completed that other half sack with Aaron Donald was nose tackle Greg Gaines, who hasn't played a ton for the Rams, but every time he has played, I feel like he's made himself very pronounced. I mean, obviously, he's a big, big nose tackle. His main job is going to be to stop the run like Leonard Floyd. Though, you know, Gaines is going to be more of a two-gapper and someone who's a little bit more, you know, traditional when it comes to that nose tackle position. But, you know, he has a little bit of juice as a pass rusher, and I don't think he's a guy you want to count out in that rotation, especially in the interior there. So, you know, pretty much everyone across the defensive line was just absolutely dominant when it came to stopping the run today. The Bears could not get anything going on the ground. David Montgomery was hit at or behind the line of scrimmage on damn near every rushing attempt. I mean, this was just a clinic when it comes to stopping the run. The defensive line was routinely standing up their offensive linemen. You've seen guys like Aaron Donald knifing into the backfield, making tackles for losses. And you've seen the linebacker duo of Micah Kizer and Kenny Young play very well as well. And not to mention, you know, the edge rushers, like I mentioned before, Floyd, as well as a rotation of guys on the other end from, you know, rookie Terrell Lewis to a guy like Justin Hollins, who once again made another impact for the Rams in this game. So Terrell Lewis had a huge stop on fourth down on a pitch that went his way. He shed a blocker, which was a very silly play to have a receiver blocking a guy like Terrell Lewis, and made the tackle for loss. And then you got guys like Leonard Floyd, who I mentioned before, who are absolutely dominant against the run. And then the front, you know, the defensive linemen, they're all great. Michael Brockers had himself a fantastic game. Morgan Fox was very lively. Aaron Donald, as always, you know, he's the best player in football. And then, like I mentioned, Justin Hollins also reeled himself a sack in this one. And the Rams really, you know, they dominated the line of scrimmage. And that was the difference in this one. The Bears just couldn't do anything offensively. I mean, they would try to run the ball and they wouldn't gain any yardage, so it would immediately put them behind the chains and, you know, in longer down and distance situations. And they're just not a good offense. So anytime the Bears are in a long down and distance, they're automatically, you know, way behind the eight ball, much more than a regular offense would be. And so the Rams kind of took advantage of that. They, you know, they played very well on early downs. And then when it came to those second and longs and third and longs, they pinned their ears back, the defensive linemen. They pressured Nick Foles routinely, early and often, and the secondary kept everything in front of them for the most part. Now, there were some instances where, you know, receivers got behind guys like Darnell Mooney, had a few plays where he could have potentially caught passes, but that's why the pass rush is so important, because sometimes corners are going to get beat. This is the NFL. You know, the receivers are getting paid too, and there's a lot of good receivers in this league, so you can expect to get beat now, you know, every now and again, and that's what happened for the Rams and, you know, their corners in this game. But the pressure did not allow a guy like Nick Foles to step into his throws, and with that being the case, you know, he overthrew one or two deep balls, and then another one or two that, you know, he just couldn't even let go of. Either he got sacked, or he had to escape the pocket and kind of try and buy himself some more time, and by the time he did that, you know, the player would be covered or too far deep. So the pass rush really impacted this game greatly. And it, you know, hopefully it's a sign of things to come, because these guys have the ability and the talent to, you know, really do this on a weekly basis. Now, I know the Chicago Bears offensive line is not exactly the benchmark for solid offensive line play, but when you have Aaron Donald on your defensive line and you have a defensive coordinator like Brandon Staley, who's willing to dial up a lot of blitzes and, you know, trying a lot of different stunts and a lot of crazy things up front when it comes to his defensive linemen and his pass rushers, then anything's really possible. And I think we've seen in this game that, you know, these guys have the juice and the ability to really impact games. Now, you know, they're not going to maybe get four or five sacks in every game, but again, you know, this is a solid rotation of players, and we've seen a lot of guys step up tonight. And we haven't even talked about the secondary, which, you know, was probably the most impressive part of tonight, maybe. I mean, you had, like I mentioned, Ramsey reel off his first interception. You had Taylor Rapp get an interception. Troy Hill played an outstanding game. He had the pass deflection that essentially was a free interception for a guy like Taylor Rapp. And I'm not even mentioning rookie Terrell Burgess, who was fantastic in this game. He had two huge tackles on third and longs in the open field, just him and a receiver, and he got the guy down twice, essentially getting the Rams off the field on the defense. So, I mean, he was outstanding, but unfortunately for Burgess, he got rolled up on and his left leg kind of got caught under him, and it looked like a very bad injury. And unfortunately for Burgess, you know, the cart did have to come out, and he did get an air cast immediately placed on that left leg slash ankle. So we don't yet know his status, but he was pretty much called, you know, doubtful to return right away. And, you know, the cart and the cast are never a good combo. So that's very, very unfortunate for a guy who was really coming into his own. He was finally starting to play the snaps that he really deserved. And he was doing a fantastic job as a player and a replacement for a guy like Jordan Fuller, who is now on IR for the short term at least. So, you know, prayers up to Terrell Burgess. Hopefully it's a much less, you know, serious injury than we are kind of anticipating. And hopefully we can get a guy like Burgess back into the fold as soon as possible, because he really looks to have hit his stride over the last 2 weeks, and it's just a shame that we're not going to get to see him start to develop more into, you know, what we all think he can become, which is a fantastic player. And, you know, it's just unfortunate, but prayers out, you know, to him. Hopefully he can get bounced back real quick, and hopefully it's not a very serious injury, but we'll keep you updated with that, you know, throughout the rest of the week. And his running mate in John Johnson might have been the best player for the Rams today. I mean, he was just outstanding. He only had five tackles in this game and no other statistics, but he had three separate instances where Nick Foles would throw the ball deep over the middle of the field or, you know, to the boundary, and John Johnson broke on all three passes, nearly picking off two of them and forcing all three of them to be incomplete when all three of them could have very easily gone for massive 50, 60, 70-yard gains, if not touchdowns. So shout out to John Johnson, who was just unreal in this game. This might have been his best game as a professional. I mean, he was everywhere. He was making tackles. He was very physical, as he always is. He can line up in the box, which he did in this game. He can line up deep. And I think he showed at least me something in this game where, you know, he has a lot more closing speed than maybe someone like I or, you know, you even anticipated. I think he really showed off his chops as a single high safety in this game. And I thought, you know, that was something that maybe he would be very limited in athletically, but definitely didn't show in this game. And I thought he was arguably the most important player for the Rams when it comes to their defense in week 7. So when we come back, we're going to touch on these special teams, and oh boy, do we have something to talk about in that section. Make sure to check back on Wednesday when former host Brad Motter joins me to discuss this game. We're going to talk about it in depth. We're really going to go into it full-fledged and kind of give you guys a breakdown of what happened and share our thoughts. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Victory Podcast. You are joining me, Sosa, on the Locked On Rams Podcast. Like I mentioned before the break, we have to talk about this special teams unit, which kind of seems like we've been talking about a lot all season. And you know what I mean? It sounds like more of the same. I mean, Johnny Hecker is just an absolute weapon for the Rams. I mean, ever since he joined the Rams nearly a decade ago, he's been arguably the best punter in football and someone who might go down as the best punter ever. That's how good he's been. He had five punts in this game for an average of 44.2 yards per punt. Five of them landed inside the 20-yard line, and I believe four of them landed inside the 10-yard line. And he had a long of 63. I mean, this is just, he was just huge for the Rams in this game. You can't understate how important he was for flipping field position, for allowing the Rams offense to get short fields to work with. And not only that, but to give the defense multiple drives with much easier tasks at hand. You know, starting from your one is never easy. And the Bears had to start from their one and inside their five and inside their 10 on multiple occasions. And that allowed the defense to make quick stops, which allowed the offense to start with very good field positioning on the ensuing drive. So it really trickled down, and it just goes to show how important a guy like Johnny Hecker is for the Rams and how nice it is to see him dominate in a game like this, because it felt like a throwback performance that we haven't really seen in quite some time, which is a good thing. You never want to see your punter out there. So Ideally, you know, hopefully he doesn't get to punt any times in week 8, but you know, if he does, Hecker is definitely a guy who can be counted on, as always. Lastly, you know, we got to touch on that kicker position. Samuel Sloman, my guy. Oh man, I think that, you know, it might be nice knowing you. I think it might be at that point in time. Sloman actually went 1-for-2 on his field goal attempts with a long of 22. And he had, I believe it was roughly a 45 to 50 yard attempt. That was, yep, you guessed it, blocked. As always, with that low trajectory of his, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know why, you know, he's plagued with these issues. But, I mean, even Sean McVay mentioned prior to this game that they wanted Sloman to kick the ball out of bounds on every kickoff because of the respect that they have for a kick returner like Cordero Patterson. And Sloman managed to get one touchback in this game. One. I mean, the guy does not have a strong leg. His trajectory is horrible. He clearly has no confidence right now. I don't think anybody on the staff or, you know, fan-wise or you listening or me speaking has any confidence in him either. So, you know, they signed Kai Forbath earlier in this week. To me, it's clear cut day, you know, decision, no questions asked. Make the move, cut Sam Sloman, activate A'shaun Robinson from the NFI list, taking his roster spot, and move on with Kai Forbath and hope for the best, because things have not worked out so far for the rookie. And, you know, I think it's going to be, his card is going to get pulled pretty quickly here. And if it does, you know, best of luck to him. But the Rams clearly should be moving on at this point in time. I just don't see how you can feel comfortable with Sam Sloman moving forward at the kicker spot. And lastly, the Rams had two kick returns from Raymond Calais. That was an average of 20.5 per return. And two punt returns from Nisimba Webster with an average of 7 per return and a long of 15. Webster continues to look like a great punt returner. And outside of that, there wasn't really much else to touch on from the special teams units. But once again, the Rams bounced back from their worst performance in this season with a dominant performance. I mean, the Rams were unreal in this game. It was great to see the, you know, just come out really from the get-go and be hot and kind of keep that foot on the pedal the whole time. We've seen rookies play very important roles in this game. We've seen a lot of players step up, and ultimately we've seen the Rams dominate from start to end, and that was good to see because the Rams are now 5-2 and prepare to play the Miami Dolphins in week 8. Prior to their bye week in week 9, and hopefully the Rams can rattle off another one and kind of stick ahead of that race for a playoff spot in the NFC, which looks to be an incredibly dangerous conference in 2020. Make sure to check back in with us on Wednesday when former host Brad Motter joins me to deep dive into this game. We're going to have all the numbers and we're going to share all of our thoughts from this week 7 contest between the Los Angeles Rams and the Chicago Bears. Just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.